Oh, we are back. We're
Back,
back.
baby.
How's it going, man?
Back once again, it's the Renegade Master.
Oh, we're such 90s kids.
Yeah, I know, it
We
hurts inside.
Gen Z. I think someone called me Gen Z the other day when I've been
No,
Googling it.
that's literally
Oh,
Zoomers,
really?
bro.
Oh, okay.
You're
Well, welcome back.
a millennial, the bad one.
Oh, we're millennials? I wasn't
Yeah.
born in the millennial though.
Okay, well, I don't know, you Gen X or something. I think
I
you're still a
don't
millennial.
know. I'm too old to know. Welcome back to another episode of the Black Art Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake, woo!
Ooh, we're back. We had a little 2 week hiatus there as I ended up incredibly sick with COVID. Can you believe
Yes.
it? Wiped me out. I'm still not actually fully physically over it, but we couldn't hold off any longer. We wanted to get on and jam with y'all, come up with some
Yeah.
cool magic for the holidays. How have you been, Jake?
I've not been too bad, man. Just so that people don't think that you are bullshitting. You actually were very, very ill. I think it deleted a few chromosomes or something, didn't it?
It actually, right. So I'm prone to getting cold sores. When I was like 5 years old, I got like hand and mouth or something, and it means that every like whenever I'm run down, I get cold sores on my lips, which are disgusting, absolutely disgusting. Anyway, I got COVID and it wiped my immune system out, and it brought out nine, I'm gonna say it, nine fucking cold sores around my mouth and inside of my nose and around the top of my mouth, and I literally looked like a lady of the night's nether regions. My mouth looks like a lady of the night's nether
Jeez,
regions. Yeah, no
nine
offense to
cold
ladies of the night
sores
who
and a
have.
partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, honestly, it looks horrific. So I've just sort of had to hibernate. I haven't made like any online content. Haven't recorded anything. My mouth felt like that guy. You know the zombie from Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah.
My mouth looked like that for the last like week or so.
Yeah, it did. It did.
I don't know what
You're
its
actually
name
wearing a
is.
Phantom of the Opera mask right now to hide your shame.
Yeah, dude, honestly, it would be an improvement. But
Yeah,
we don't like to talk too much about how are you and what have you been up to. We like to get straight into the good stuff on this podcast, otherwise we can go off on a tangent. But anything you feel like sharing with us health-wise? How is your mental health? How's your physical health? Do we care? Probably not, but
well, I mean, I don't think anyone necessarily cares, but I'll still divulge some information. Yeah. I'm not well either. I think I digitally caught something that you had, or I've just been, I don't know, I've just been traipsing around the back alleys too much because I'm not very well.
Yeah, it's what I think. It's just the time of year. Apparently, everyone's getting sick. Like, I don't know, but either way, it doesn't stop us from. I mean, it did, but right now, it's not going to stop us for the next at least 45 minutes, talking magic, coming up with some cool ideas, hopefully, and as always, unscripted creation, live and into your ears, it shall be beamed. Is
Hell
it live? Kind of
yes.
pre-recorded, but you know, on the spot at least.
On the spot, impromptu. That's the excuse for it being awful. And it's episode 36.
Man, that's so cool. I can't wait till we get to the 52nd episode. So we'll probably forget that it's the 52nd episode and then not celebrate it by doing something special, but we'll see.
I'll never forget. I care about this podcast, Lloyd.
You say that like I don't.
I don't know. I don't know.
I love this podcast. But okay, so we've got to talk about this. I have to talk about this.
Yeah.
Dynamo's show aired last night. I know we 99.999% of the time talk purely about creative ideas and the esoteric side of the art, but we can't not discuss Dynamo's rebirth, Stephen
Yeah.
Fraine's rebirth happening. It happened last night, 9 p.m. as a live televised event on Sky in the UK. Dynamo is dead. Which was a 2-hour special finishing with Dynamo being buried alive without a coffin. And it was spectacular. It was phenomenal. And it was amazing to see a big live magic event for the first time in what feels like a long time being aired in general, but also it being on home soils, you know, literally like in the UK. And I wanted to discuss. I know you haven't seen it yet.
No, yeah. So here's the thing. I don't have Sky because I'm not 65 plus.
It was also on Now TV as well, so it
Yeah,
was
I
like
don't have
a
Now TV because I'm not an idiot.
dude, there's a 7-day free trial.
No, there's not, man. The 7-day free trial is for extra features. You still have to pay for the base month.
Yeah, I did pay 10 quid for the base month, but I used to have a free trial, so I was just assuming
Yeah, like
it was a
4 years ago.
free
You're all out here getting
trial. It was,
scammed.
dude, it was 10 quid to support my mate to watch his show, so I'm not gonna not do that.
My mate.
Anyway, regardless of how you, I mean, that was the one bad thing. Not bad. The one like sort of gutting thing is that, like, when Sky takes over or any of these big sort of subscription-based television networks take over a something,
Yeah.
then you automatically lose a mass amount of viewership.
Yeah. But I mean, his past, well, actually all of his shows, the budget has been great to make it look slick, and that is because of Sky. So it is a positives and negatives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it will end up, I'm assuming, and this is like no insider info, but like his previous shows ended up on the BBC and being streamed around the world. So I'd be quietly confident that after this has had its, like, it's made its money through Sky, they'll then distribute the show as they all do. All these networks distribute the shows around each other, so it'll be seen by millions more eyes over the future in the coming years, I think. That being said, I want to discuss it from a non. So I know a lot about the show.
Yeah.
I was. It's a shame because of scheduling and other things. I couldn't be a major part of it from the get go. So I want to just discuss this as a viewer sitting next to Kaylee who watched it, and then reading the online response to it, as
Yeah.
opposed to talking about any of the stuff that I know about from behind the scenes.
Yeah, and Kaylee's a big fan as well, right? So I guess you get to appreciate through her eyes.
Yeah, dude. So Dynamo kind of played a part in our relationship in the weirdest way. A small part, but a part nonetheless. You want to hear it? Have I told you this?
I mean, I'm vaguely aware of this story, but I think that it's always nice to revisit your lore.
Well, it seems sort of relevant to the topic. I'll just share it quickly. Obviously, me and Kaylee first had our first kiss in school, you know, when we were like teenagers, and then we went to literally different sides of the globe and spent 10 years traveling, doing our own things before reuniting. But on the path to reuniting, Kaylee is a gen before me and her, like, you know, got together again. She is a genuine fan of magic. She's got When I first went to her parents' house to meet the parents, and she took me up and showed me her bedroom, she genuinely has Dynamo's books, Derren Brown's books, DVDs on magic, not tuition stuff, but all, like, the Derren Brown and Dynamo and other people's books, like magic kits she ha that you buy in Tesco's and stores.
Yeah,
She
of
has
course.
shitloads of that. So
And you
no,
thought,
so
I'm
yeah,
in
so
there,
she's a
son.
huh?
And you thought, I'm in there, son.
Oh, I knew we were meant to be from that point. But before that, Dynamo performed in Cardiff in the international arena, and I went to see it as his friend. So I went there and then watched the show live. And there's a PK touch routine with like 12 members of the audience that are siblings. I think it was siblings. And this is like in 2017, 18, or something. Maybe before that, like 16, and me and Katie, for the record, like sort of reconnected in 2018. So it's a couple, like a year or two before we got together. I look on stage and I'm like, that is Kaylee, then Kaylee Hughes. That's Kaylee Hughes. I know that girl. What the hell is she doing on stage with Dynamo and Dynamo show? Anyway, after the show, me and D and the crew went to get food together, and after that, Dynamo tweeted me saying, "Yo, thanks for like coming out and grabbing lunch or dinner, like let's do it again soon." Kaylee was on Twitter and had messaged, put up a post about the show, incredible show. D had responded to her and like all his other fans, as he does. And then she had seen the conversation between me and him and the photo we'd put up, having food. So she messaged. So then she did some Facebook stalking and seeing that I was traveling at the time, all over the world, in like South Korea and America, Canada, and places doing magic. And so she messaged me saying, "Lloyd Barnes, how are you, stranger? I've Sorry for being so rude, but what the fuck do you do for a living? I had no idea this is like your life. And I wrote back, you know, and I was like, oh, hey, Caitlin. You know, briefly explained, and I tried to play it down as much as possible because I really don't like people in my hometown knowing what I do. Hence why, like, I have so many people blocked on Instagram from this part of the woods. And she never responded at all, completely like ghosted me. When we finally reconnected, I was like, what was that message about all them years ago? And she was like, I just couldn't believe that you were friends with somebody who I like think is just incredible, Dynamo. And when you told me what you do, I was so intimidated. I just thought I wasn't good enough to even like message you back.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. So Dynamo sort of played a part in making me look cool for the first and only time in my life. And it was the time that counted. Anyway.
That's real magic, folks.
Real magic. Anyway, that being said, it was so cool to watch. The show, without spoiling anything for anyone that hasn't seen it yet, but the show takes a very, very, very different direction to what Dynamo is known for. What Dynamo was known for, I mean, if you could summarize Dynamo's style of magic based off of his career up until just till before yesterday, how would you describe it? How would you describe his style of magic?
He put the phone in the bottle and then the big man do big trick. This guy is an alien.
Very flashy, very visual magic, lots of flourishing, literally, and yeah, like a bit sort of roadman, British gangster in his own way. Do you know what I mean? Like a lot of the very grime, heavy and influenced magic, right? I think that'd be a
Yeah,
fair
no,
representation there.
yeah, I don't say that in a condescending way. I think Dynamo is absolutely amazing. And I think the way that the TV show was, the different TV shows he's been in have always been marked brilliantly. There's conversations to be had around editing in TV magic, but looking at it as someone who just wants to watch magic on TV, I think they've always been great.
Oh yeah, absolutely phenomenal. Like, I think a good production as well can make or break a good magician. And not only was his past stuff incredibly well thought out, he had an amazing team of consultants, but also the production even more so amplified how incredible it looked. Anyway, so that being said, you go into the show, Dynamo is dead, he's been missing off TV for years. And everyone's wondering what he's going to do. And the show is just, it goes off in a completely, Dynamo comes out swinging, but with a completely new set of weapons to his arsenal, a completely new style. It's a much more introspective and connective style of magic. I think barely any visual elements, handful of visual tricks, I'd say, you know, 5% of the stuff on the show, although had visual representations of things, was not, but I'd say only a tiny amount of the show was visual magic. It was a lot more, basically, it was, I think it's 12 celebrities. Each of these celebrities were chosen for a specific reason. And that's because, and these are not just like, you know, I'm a celebrity type. Get me out of the jungle type Z-list
No.
celebrities. These were people, megastars, fucking Tony Hawk, Dave Chappelle, Tyson Fury, to name a few. And each of them have gone through mental health struggles or personal life struggles in some way. And the show was a way to sit down, talk with them, share stories between Stephen Frane, now Dynamo, or you know, who was Dynamo, and I think partially to show that the audience at home that when you see these sort of Instagram reel highlights of these people's lives or these celebrities' lives, and they always try and act like everything's all good, the reality is that everyone sort of is dealing with it. Like everyone's in the same, not everyone's in the same boat, but everyone has a boat that goes through rough seas, you know, and it's sort of all right. to talk about that. And it gets deep, you know, it gets really, really deep. And so, like, you know, it comes to, I mean, if this is in the newspapers and it's in Stephen Bartlett's Diary of the CEO, but it comes to light that in 2020, I think it was November the 6th, Dynamo or Stephen Frain attempted to commit suicide. And it deals with these sort of themes throughout the show with Demi Lovato and people like this and Tyson Fury. And what I think the bigger lesson for magicians to take away here is, and I think this is what was so clever and tasteful about it, is that he didn't talk to people and share with people these type of really intense topic and discussion points and then just go and show them the fucking ambitious card or Omni deck.
Yeah.
You know, what he did was he could, and this is the clever part about the new Stephen Frain, like the rebirth, is that he's taking on board what his audience is saying. He's genuinely connecting with them and then performing pieces of magic to suit that occasion, to fit with that, that will, a piece of magic that will heighten that connection between himself and the audience.
Yeah.
And often, you know, basically a lot of those times, those effects not going to be those flashy phone-in bottles that are visual and, you know, look cool to share on Instagram. Because really when, and this is kind of what the heart of the Black Art podcast is about. And this is why I enjoyed the show so much, because often the best magic that you can show someone is something which is going to leave a deeper impact on them and yeah, have more meaning to them. So, you know, not every single trick was that heavy, but the majority of them were that way inclined and had that feel to it. So,
if an effect is, I always think of them as reflective effects, and it's almost the same way when you perform a reading. It's if an effect, whether it's visual or otherwise, if there's something in it that they can, that represents themselves almost, where they can see some kind of a relation, there's all these trigger points that I try and hit with effects. And it's, if someone watches it, if someone experiences it and they see a part of themselves in it, or they see something that relates to them, it makes them feel recognized. It makes them feel seen.
Yeah.
And they can kind of tell the story themselves. They fill in the gaps.
Yes. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. And the other thing with that is as well, is that it doesn't feel like the trick is just a trick out of the box. It feels like the moment was created just for them. And that it's a moment that won't occur for somebody yeah. else. It's something that was real magic. I think the best magic ever that can ever be performed is magic that just feels completely spontaneous. It's why a big part of my ethos when it comes to performing is that I wait to be asked to perform magic. I never approach. And I always say no for the first two or three times they ask. And eventually I give in. And the whole persona is that I don't have anything to show. I'm not, you know, I have no cards. I have nothing on me. And then when I do magic, it feels more spontaneous. Yeah. And that's kind of like the stuff which is stronger, because he's performing an effect fitted to them and what they've just told him. Then it feels like that this moment is once in a lifetime kind of thing, you know? You can only occur at that time.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, they've got a decent amount of time to set up these things, have plans in place. And I'm assuming that the guests are predetermined a decent amount of time beforehand. So they do have the chance to really, really personalize this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And really consider what each person is going to, like, you know, you can watch somebody, the way they talk, the way they act, the things they share, the, you know, the stuff that the design style they like, the books they read. You can look at this through your own friends and family and decipher what captures their attention and what connects with them, and then create magic based off that. For example, there's a trick in the show that where he does a magic square using billiard balls, right?
Nice.
And super clever. And it's the numbered billiard balls, you know, that create the magic square. Yeah. Now, for example, Kaylee's got dyscalculia. My wife is number dyslexic, basically. Any trick generally to do with any maths-based principles or collection of numbers Kaylee really struggles to comprehend this, and it's just not very impressive to her because, you know, she basically sees numbers in a jumbled up format. Like that's how her brain takes it in. So for someone like Kaylee, I would never perform a magic square because it's not very impressive to her because she, you know, it's something she has an issue with, not an issue, but it's something the way her brain works doesn't compute very well. And so if I was just trying and do that blind on someone, not knowing they also had Dyscalculia 2 or Dyscalculus 2, then it would be a failure. And having that ability to, or having that forethought to do a solid read on background check on his audience, you know, allows him to create moments of magic that are just infinitely stronger. No, please carry on.
I wish that I had the chance to watch before we recorded, but we're recording a different day than we usually do. It's super last minute whilst it's still fresh in your mind. And I just haven't had the chance to watch it yet.
I think it's interesting to do it this way though, because you can go off and make notes as you watch it and consider what I've said and think if there's anything you disagree with in post or come back.
The annoying thing is I have seen, you know, obviously whilst it's airing, snippets come out on Instagram, even on Dynamo and the Sky accounts, they'll start posting reveals and visual things from it. And unfortunately, you know, there's Facebook magic groups where you can't help but see people giving their opinions 2 seconds after something's aired.
Have you seen what are the, let me just close my door. What are the people on Facebook magic groups saying?
It's super, super, I would say 70% positive.
70% what, sorry?
70% positive, I'd say, at the moment, from what I've seen. Bearing in mind that I left a lot of Facebook groups recently because they annoy you. The only negatives I've seen are stuff to do with the fact it's a TV show and that there is going to be editing.
Yeah. There was... I have, like, thoughts on some of those parts of the show where they didn't need to have a camera cut in there.
Yeah.
There are certain things you do on TV. I've always said this. There are certain things that you can do in real life that you just cannot do on television without exposing.
Yeah, and it's its own separate craft.
Yeah, exactly. It's its own separate craft. But there's no need to do, you know, people don't use stooges, or most people don't use stooges. It's just sometimes, for a very, 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 very basic example is if you're going to do card to mouth, you know, you do ambitious card routine, a few phases, one of the final phases that the card ends up in your mouth. Now, if you were to just play that clip completely uncut on TV, that most people at home wouldn't spot it the first time, but when they rewind it, they would then spot it.
Yeah.
So what you would do in post is that you would film that from two angles, and the moment that they would load the card into the mouth, you would just shoot on the participant's face or on the magician's hands. Now, that is not edited. That is not cheating the system. He still performed that trick. Everybody's still seen that effect and got that reaction to it.
Yeah.
But it's just that the selection of choice for the camera view would give the same perception as what you would have watching it live. So there's no cheating there.
Yeah.
But it's just you want to be future proof when people would attempt to try and rewind it. That's kind of what I mean in that's the correct way of using camera cuts, right? And there are certain times in the show where I was watching it and there's no need for a camera cut. But just to keep, so this whole thing with editing these days is like this, I think Casey Neistat was recently talking about it, and it's just something which is just sort of infiltrating all of like video culture. But it's just like Mr. Beastification of stuff, which is like Mr. Beast does it the right way and sort of set the trend. But now everybody thinks that to keep people's attention, you need to make a cut every single 3 seconds.
I think recently I heard it was something stupid as well. It's like went up to 1.3 seconds being the ideal amount.
Yeah, yeah. The more you can cut the camera, even like say this is me talking to you for 60 seconds. If I'd say a good shorts editor that would want to make that clip get 10 million views with every, like you said, every 1 second cut, whether that's they cut in closer, they punch back further away, they shoot from a different angle. They do this like quick fire as much as they can to keep the audience hooked into a video. And that does sort of happen at certain times in the show where I was like, ah, fuck, you didn't need to cut there. I know, and I've gone on Twitter and seen that a lot of people have attributed some of the methods to video editing.
Yeah.
And I actually think they should have gone. Have you ever seen the film Children of Men or Gravity? By
Alfonso Cuarón?
Yes. They are 1917 as well.
Yeah, the one
films that are famed for having extremely long scenes that are not cut. And I actually feel like that would have been much better suited to do that with this special. I haven't actually seen a magician do this on a TV show yet, so it'd be interesting to see someone do that. But I think that in the modern era, people just know a lot more about magic and methods.
Yeah.
Like the general public knows so much more than they did 5 years ago. And sometimes you need to prove to them that you're not doing what they think you're doing.
Do you know, I apologize if this is a bit off topic, kind of, but it relates back to both of what we both things we were just talking about then. I saw a short recently, and it was the aforementioned Mr. Beast. And he was saying that there was a certain point he reached with videos where he had to pull back, because if he went on the street and said, here's $1 million and gave it to someone, people wouldn't believe that he'd done that. But if he went on the street and said, here's $100,000, people believed it. And yeah, it was like, right. It's like that impossibility level is in magic as well.
Yeah, that's it. There's certain things where people just know. This is the big one with Kaylee. So from Kaylee's point of view, so this is my thought on it. And I think I've shared this with you on the Black Art podcast before. And I think we may have even done like a full sort of episode on it. So there's a trick. Have you seen that trick by Eric Ross, the fish hook trick? What's it called?
Hooked.
Where you basically take a fishing hook, mm-hmm. and you attach it to fishing thread, and you place in your mouth. But you also place in six other threads that are not attached to the hook. And the idea is that the audience, one by one, Russian roulette style, yank the thread from your mouth. And by chance, they don't pull out the fishing hook. Well, he does a variation of this, right? Using motorbikes and a razor in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
And he does it with Bugsy Malone, the British grime artist. And it was one of the only parts of the show that didn't work for me. And it's because everybody at home, and Kaylee's sitting there watching this as a semi-layman, everyone at home knows everyone knows the outcome.
Yeah.
Joshua Jay writes in one of his books, I think it's How Magicians Think or somewhere else, that upon research, and I think it was Joshua Jay, because I don't think it's in The Psychology of Magic, but the best perceived pieces of magic are effects that have a surprise element to them.
Yeah.
And not that every trick should have a surprise element to it, but I always feel that, especially with danger type tricks like Smash and Stab or Hooked, that the only thing that shouldn't happen with them is exactly what they think is going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? It's almost like it's the opposite to magic.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, I do. I understand what you
mean. If I have five pencils and you pick each of them up and they all write, there's nothing special about that.
No.
Right. If I take a blade and I put it in my mouth and then you pull all the strings and I don't get cut. Yeah, it's a bit daring, but we knew that you were going to be fine and it's not special.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. In one way, that's how modern expectations are different now, because there is almost an expectation in modern layman for there to be kickers now. And in some ways, when an effect is a good effect, people are still waiting for you to then turn the card into something else. Because they're so kind of used to this pattern.
Conditioned. But yeah, it's a tricky one because I do think it was I do think it was a good part of the show, and the entirety of the show was fantastic, like phenomenal, and the responses on Twitter, people have just been like breaking their heart watching it, like it really connected. I just feel like that one was like the weaker of everything, if there had to be a weakness. And I'm trying to think, what I would have done differently. But for me, I wouldn't have done that effect.
Right.
You know, so, but if I did, and this is where it comes from, I apologize for interrupting.
No.
If I did, there was a moment where they cut, and I don't feel like I feel like that would have been, I think, not the issue. I think what it lacked was the correct direction on right. it, because it can be a powerful piece, it can be an entertaining piece, but I feel like that should have been one shot that never cut away.
Right. Okay.
And I think it might have ended up actually being that would have been possibly the part of the show that could have gone viral on YouTube. You know,
that's interesting. So
I would have shot it completely differently.
Yeah. Yeah. But in terms of the pacing of the overall show, do you think that's why it was kind of there? I mean, who was the guest beforehand and the guest after?
I couldn't tell you before or after.
Right. But was the texture needed for the show, for there to be something in a completely different location with a completely different prop to go between two, you know, where they're just sitting in a room, say?
Not so much. The story, well, the artist was Bugsy Malone, and it discussed about how he had been stabbed when he was 11 years old.
Yeah.
So the theme to it was cut, you know, being cut.
Right. Right.
So the effect was being cut. Now, I just would have done something entirely, entirely different there. Would have built up a lot more drama and had some sort of, like, not every trick needs to have a magic element to it. And I think the concept of luck, mm-hmm. is possibly the most magical concept there is, because there's, if you say you're going to do something and by luck you get it right, and there's, you know, there's a thousand ways in which you could have gone wrong, that can be framed as magic.
Right.
Because right. there's no way you can disprove it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I just feel like it just... I mean, what would you have done? Right? You're talking to a famous grime artist and the experience that he's sharing with you is about stabbing and the further impacts it had on his life and how he decided to change his life in the future from that. What effect potentially would you consider doing in that point of the show?
So if I was producing or consulting or performing on something like that, and I think to really delve a bit deeper into the connection and to almost be a counter to the masculinity of this rapper, I would perform something that was a little bit softer and more subtle, maybe, like, you know, something not necessarily this, but it does relate to that theme that you were discussing, something along the lines of Teller's Shadows routine. I think something more like that might be interesting, to be more introspective towards what was being discussed, the stabbing or whatever. And just because of the archetype of this person might have a better reaction.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. I like that idea.
But I could be completely wrong. I'm not a TV consultant. But I think for me personally, I would like to counteract the image of this person a little bit, maybe, and also show them something a little bit softer and more subtle.
That's so clever, actually. That's so, so clever. I love how you've just flipped it. Okay, so now my head's like going running circles with ideas. But yeah, there's something brilliant there about just taking it and flipping it on its head.
All of it depends on the whole as well, right? And I don't mean the whole, like, HOLE. I mean, it depends on how the other guests around it are edited, where it would slide in the special.
Yeah.
Same way you structure a routine in a stage show, it would depend. But I guess as long as you've got a decent variance, you can put those 12. I imagine that the things that are discussed could have been discussed in almost any order.
Yeah. No, there was a way that this was, I'll come back to this in a moment, yeah, but there was a yeah, way yeah. that the show was pieced and that it sort of right. lifted up. It talked about, you know, causation, struggle, yeah. after effects, and then rebirth as it sort of went along. So each of those artists sort of had like different things to talk about in those moments, and it was really well constructed that way.
Right. Okay. It was kind of linear.
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't think necessarily all the audience would have picked up on that. They just would have felt it. inherently would have felt the show going that direction, but watching it from a perspective that we, like, sort of we have, then you definitely notice that where the placement points are, the waypoints. But go back to it. I mean, now the, like the way you like said that then about what would you do, it makes me think that at that point in the show, you know, because he talks about how, you know, he got stabbed and then he went to prison. And then at some point he decided to make a change for himself. This is the grime artist. And, you know, and I don't know whether this is the right thing, but just spitting off the top of my head, potentially I would at this point do out of all the stuff, like something a little bit more visual where the effect would be something along the lines of you stab a hole in something, maybe, you know, takes a picture of someone and he puts a knife through it.
Right.
You know, and what effect that would have. Say it was like a family heirloom, you know, a family photograph that he has one copy of and he destroys it. And how, what effect that would have long term on, you know, is it a photo maybe of his grandfather? It's the only photo they have, and destroying that will not just physically destroy something, but destroys the longer lasting memory. And they say you die twice. The first time your body dies and the last time someone mentions your name, you know, is this a real death you've just committed here of the soul of the man? And then restoring that and deciding what would you do if you could go back in time and not do it? Would you take it back and change the course of the future? And by then restoring that image or photograph, you've kept this person's memory alive for centuries longer. Well, you know what I mean? Something like that is kind of maybe the direction that I would potentially take it.
Mm, okay. So do you think that would be kind of the, not in terms of quality, obviously, but in terms of the story, is that almost the low point of the story? If you were looking at it from a traditional storytelling point of view, that's like the, all is lost before the triumphant return.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So usually around about the 50%, around about 50% of the way through a story to the 70% of a story is kind of the long dark night of the soul, the abyss. That's like, you know, oh no, everything's been taken away from me. Now I have to go to the finale. And do you think you'd lean towards that kind of, is that where it was actually placed within the special as well?
It was later in the special, yeah. It was, I'd say, three quarters in, for sure. Okay,
that's interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm just trying to think, you know, if anything, I think that if they were going to stick with that effect, and again, it's not that it wasn't not good. It was a great way of doing it. It just felt like it lacked comparatively. You know, and I think that's an important point to make, is that everything was so good.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe if, you know, he puts the blade into his mouth, he puts the blade on the string in his mouth with the other strings.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, maybe they talk about fear. And, you know, when at the finale, when he brings the blade out, it's no longer a blade, but to it it's tied around a tarantula, and maybe Bugsy Malone's fears are spiders or something, you know?
Right.
So it's transformative in a sense. But also, so then it gets that, not just that, yep, you survived, we knew that was going to happen, reaction. But also then the, holy fuck, you took this to another level kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned, like, transformative, because that is the next stage of a story, pretty much.
Yeah,
it's like the way transformation I described it to and the atonement. Kaylee...
Sorry, say that again.
No, go on. I'm chatting arty farty shite.
No, I just didn't hear you, man.
Go on. The way you described it to Kaylee.
Oh, one of the things I said to Kaylee was, "Well, this is like a different element." Well, no, I'll come back to that part later. But yeah, so that, I mean, we're spending so much time talking about that bit. I do think it would have been cooler to have, since it was magic, it's a magic show. It wasn't a danger show. I do think it would have been good to do something like that where, you know, maybe he does the whole thing with, it's tied around the rope is a lollipop or a gummy bear or something, you know, and then it finishes, he opens his hand and he's actually been holding a blade the entire time. And the theme is that sometimes you don't know how dangerous these decisions can be. You just have to follow your gut instincts and hope that you make the right choice, because anything else would end up in disaster.
Right. Okay. You know, so, yeah.
Something like that.
I do like that, the fate look kind of theme.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know, you're standing over a trap door until you walk off the stage kind of thing.
Interesting.
Anyway, that was kind of it. And what I was speaking to someone earlier, but it was so good that it's going to inspire a new set of generation of magicians, but it's also going to inspire all those workers to try and start doing the tricks they've watched in the show that are kind of more, a bit more, some of the more commercial ones, like he does an Out of This World in there.
Oh yeah. Which, I did hear about that.
Yeah. Just like, you know, the most, he does it on a glass table with the camera pointing up, which is fantastic, to Stephen Bartlett from Diary of a CEO, you know, the podcast. But it's going to make, you know, there's so many tribute act magicians out there that just they just gig and they copy, you know, everything they see. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know.
Nope. Cover bands make good money.
Yeah, you got to have them. And also, you know, sometimes you need to just copy someone to find out who you are. I think it was Eric Clapton. I was watching on an interview recently, and he said that the way he got into music and found who he was is he just used to play covers. That's all he used to do. And then eventually he found who he was. And I suppose that's for every musician, right? No musician just starts playing their own music.
No, I would assume not. Unless you're a child prodigy.
Yeah. So there is that element to it. But I do know it's going to suck seeing so many magicians attempt to do what Dynamo did on TV to their audiences. And the thing is that each of those effects were specifically chosen and scripted for each person. And it's going to be so awkward watching, you know, some gigging magician go and try and do like the Tyson Fury punch to a primary school teacher that's got a good life.
Right. Yeah.
What I'm saying is, please don't go out there and just start doing the same tricks off TV. A, it's not cool. It's like it's super unclassy to, you know, the magicians that used to go and perform Dynamo's material, the stuff off his show, just to say they were better than him or that they could do it too. Don't do that. Don't be those guys. And B, also like, you just don't make yourself look any better. In the moment, you'll get cheers and whoops, but, you know, you're selling your soul for that shit.
Yeah, it's almost like that that point in the early to mid 2000s where everyone had a goatee and focused on theater of the mind.
Yes, yeah. Everyone was suddenly Darren Brown.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then it finished, right? It got to the finale, which is Dynamo, and I feel like super lame, like talking about like how I would have done the blade effect differently, the hook effect differently, But it was the whole show is just epic. It's just that was the only part. Not everything's perfect. Even like the best films in the world have just one low moment. It was so good from a deeper, you know, point of view. It's a much deeper considered Dynamo with much more powerful magic to the people watching it. You know,
yeah.
And then it finished with him being buried alive without a coffin, and Jonathan Goodwin comes on screen and talks to him about the dangers of this effect and how many magicians have died for real doing it. And Jonathan Goodwin sat there in a wheelchair after famous, you know, not so famously, because it's kind of like sort of not very well spoken about at the minute, but no. He recently became paralyzed because of an accident on television.
Yeah.
To do with one of his escapes. So he genuinely is there speaking from experience of the dangers of how these magic escapes and stunts can go critically wrong, seriously wrong, and it really upped the ante then for what you were about to watch him do, which was symbolic. It was a rebirth and it was also danger, and it really did have drama built in. And when I went online and looked at the opinions of the lay audience on like Twitter, then you could see that, like, I'd say 90% positive, and people were like, holy shit, that was intense, what the fuck, oh my god, Dynamo was the best, just heartbreaking television, incredible to watch, just, yeah, it had the desired effect that I think he was hoping for and then some. And it was just a unique thing, and just an amazing TV special.
You know, Dynamo is such a unique magician as well, because as much as you might go on a Facebook group and see someone complaining about the editing somewhere, pretty much 99.9%, he has the heart of the public. Like, laymen absolutely adore Dynamo, and they don't give a fuck about most cuts.
And that's the thing. They're the only opinions that matter.
Yeah.
And I think any magician worth their salt will understand how well thought out and well executed that show was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the magicians that are like, there's a bell curve that I spoke about before, which is that you start off as an amateur magician, and then you binge all of the content on Illusionist, and you think you're good, and you think you know it all, and then you go off on forums, leaving comments everywhere saying I know that's done, and exposing methods and everything, and then you start to progress and learn and realize how humiliating you've acted.
Yeah, it's the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? It's that cognitive bias around competence.
Exactly. And then you start to have a deeper understanding, hopefully, of magic, or at least you think you do. And like, that's kind of where I am. I think I have a deeper understanding of magic. I probably haven't even started to begin to be a student of magic yet. Anyone leaving, any magician shitting on him, they're at the top of that bell curve right now. They don't realize how embarrassing they're being.
Yeah.
And they don't realize how to people like not myself, because I don't consider myself anything like this, but the actual people who are good magicians, like the real deals out there, you don't realize how stupid you look to those people, because what he pulled off, and especially because it was such a self-driven effort. This is Dynamo basically from day one, just I can't begin to tell you the amount of work that man put into that show.
Yeah.
And constructed and conceived everything and made it come to life. Like, that was, I've never seen effort like it ever before, period. And then to have it done so well is just, people don't understand how much of an impossible feat he achieved.
Yeah.
And to do it so incredibly, it blows my mind.
Magicians can be some of the weirdest, most ungrateful folk in the world, because if this was 200 years ago, you're advertising your show, you're advertising your services, you know, you've got to do all the publicity yourself, bud. The fact of the matter is, people like Dynamo are advertising the entire industry of magic for you, to the entire public, and they're doing more to sell your show than you are.
Yeah. And on top of that, like, he didn't massively heavily promote it, right? He just put up a few posts online the week or two before. But the crazy thing to me is that he, off his own back, after what's gone on in the past with him privately, he wrote the show. He came up with the entire concept himself. Literally that whole Buried Alive live stunt thing, the format of the celebrities, there was more to it that sort of didn't make it in. And they sort of touched on that with Cara Delevingne with the 12 steps, but that was going to be a bigger plot point originally. And all these things were all, this was Dynamo come up with all this. He wrote it all himself. And then from there, he went and chose his dream team of consultants. And from there, at the same time, he went and chased around to get this big deal, this production deal, on his own, and went to multiple different studios to get this deal. He did all of the, obviously he had help, but this was all conceived and driven by him entirely. And then he went and fucking did it all.
Yeah.
And trained for the Buried Alive stunt. Then he went to all these places, spent literally years working on all of this. And the driving factor, he didn't have a team of people saying, you have to do this now, you have to do that now. Oh, now everything was driven by him. He chased fucking everything, everyone, every effect. This was like, I mean, yes, the consultants created the methods to some of the tricks, but even the fucking trick choice, 99% of them, or I'd say like 80% that got to air, they were all designed, they're all conceived by him writing the script beforehand. Like, people just don't understand how much fucking solo effort went into this compared to when you watch other magic shows by other magicians, and even, you know, Dynamo's past other shows, you know, a lot of this was undertaken by a big fucking huge team with a much bigger budget.
Yeah.
Whereas this was like a, you know, and it was just so self-driven. It's almost impossible to state. And he fucking went and did it. And it just makes magic look fucking awesome again. And then you have a magician out there on a fucking Facebook group complaining about, you know, one too many cuts, or I could do it better, or you think he knows it. You know, it's like, fuck off, you idiot. Keep fucking performing tricks to your fucking mother in your bedroom.
Keep
Fucking fumbling
pretending
your
that the
fucking
people in the old
lines.
folks' home are just as impressed with your sponge balls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just because they tell you you're the best magician they've ever seen, like, don't actually take that compliment, you prick.
Yeah. I mean, not to get too shitty, because I love everyone. It's just, don't be a dickhead.
Yeah, no. I, you know, sometimes it's frustrating. You see, it's like I'm aware of not even all of it. Like, even me, it's like the iceberg. You know, people, that show was just like, they just seen 2 hours of amazing TV.
Yeah.
Right. But like, I am fully aware that beneath that, more than any other, the iceberg, the scale of this gargantuan amount of effort and drive and passion and creativity that's being put into it by this man after everything he fucking came through and literally survived. And then you've got a fucking magician who just does shitty gigs, performing other people's tricks, fumbling his lines, flashing every effect, having the audacity to try and criticize some of it. It makes me think, like, Jesus Christ, there really are different levels to this shit. And some people, that's, I don't know, we're going off on a tangent here about how everyone gets given the same attention when not everybody deserves the same amount of attention.
Yeah, see, and you know what? We don't want to be hypocritical, because at the end of the day, we are talking on a podcast, on a platform where, you know, if people choose to listen to this, they're listening to our opinion. Everyone has opinions, I suppose. It's just how you voice them.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm saying this after just going, after talking, you know, for 10 minutes about how, you know, the hooked effect or the blade effect wasn't, you know, the strongest thing for me.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous even to say that, because we're saying that with the I'm saying this with, like, the fortune of hindsight. But I think, you know, it's like when directors make films, the only reviews they listen to or remember are the fucking critics that didn't like it. You know, even people like Steven Spielberg and James Cameron, sort of type. So I don't know. Overall, man, I just wanted to, like, say, like, completely, like, bravo, like, full standing ovation, 10 minutes at the, you know, Cannes, standing a style ovation for that show. It was just, and the team of consultants that worked on it as well, Lewis Laval, Peter Turner, Tom Eldfield, just, I'm just so sad that I couldn't have been more of a part of it, because of, you know, I just couldn't move to London. I couldn't commit to it.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it, but fucking hell, man. It was just an achievement. And I'm excited to see where, so here's the one big overall take from it before. And this kind of brings us back to the start of it, is I don't think Dynamo or any magician could really do the magic that he did in his original specials these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because people are, if something looks like you were saying, too perfect, right? Like not too perfect, but if Mr. Beast offers someone $1 million, they think it's not going to happen. But if he offers them $100,000, it's believable. Like, yeah, I think I can take this, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays, if you do a piece of magic and the visual's insane and they can't understand how it works, they'll just say it's video editing.
Yeah.
They'll just dismiss it, whether they know the method or not. And it's that imperfect, perfect theory. Because people like Zach King and the, you know, the people that are, like, there's a girl on Instagram that does incredible, like, editing that looks like magic. You know, people can see, A, not only how these things are composited together, but B, how you can make these sort of effects on your phone. And even when you're not using video editing and you're using real methods, it's just easier for the public to go video editing. So I wouldn't want to do a lot of those visual tricks these days, because they can either be rewound with ultra 4K. That are, like, a lot of magic you could get away with a lot of magic. And I know magicians that do this now, that a lot of their visual stuff is it's shot in a way that the camera helps because of the quality, you know?
Yeah.
Or lighting. And there's certain tricks that you could perform on TV when you didn't have 4K, ultra 4K HD, which just couldn't be done these days.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think it was, and this is why Blaine is so good, because what Blaine does is does sort of blur those lines between real and magic, and you're not going to be able to rewind it and see how it's done, or zoom in and see how they work, because a lot of them are what they are, like a needle through the fucking arm, or regurgitating frogs, or sewing his lips shut. You can watch that a million times, you ain't going to expose it.
Yeah, yeah. I've been on a bit of a binge lately, watching some of Blaine's highlights, and his stuff still does just hold up so well.
Exactly, yeah. So I was fascinated to see how modern magic could be performed and should be performed. And I really do think he set the bar.
Right.
Set the new bar. It was just so well thought out. And it's exactly probably what the type of stuff, or close to the type of stuff that I would have, that if I ever had to do a TV show on Sky, mm-hmm. shot with fucking red eye cameras, it's probably the type of style that I would go for. Because it's foolproof, you know, or future proof, even.
Now, that's a good point to make, because obviously, like, at the end of the day, as creatively involved and responsible as you can be for a production, I am assuming that with this return to TV, he hasn't retained final cut on anything.
I'm not 100% sure, but I would assume that he would have had final cut on this.
Do you think?
I think so, yeah. Mm, yeah, specifically okay. For magic shows, most do, because of this certain stuff a TV exec doesn't understand needs to be kept in or out.
Right, okay. Okay, ignore me then.
but let's say that he didn't.
Well, just if he didn't, you kind of have to structure things so that regardless of what happens in the edit, there's still going to be an effect that shines through.
So you mean like one highlight effect or one standout effect?
Well, I don't know. It's hard. Not working in TV, I don't know. I just know from my own side of the production that I've been involved with, sometimes you have to... You just have to load as much as you can in there, because you know 90% of it will be taken away.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Right. Yeah. I think there was, you know, in any like sort of magic shoot with anyone, when you spend all that time going to like a location and setting it up and taking the full day of, you know, it takes months of organizing to get like a celebrity to sign on.
Yeah.
You don't just go there and shoot one trick with them. Normally you'll shoot a series of tricks. And I do believe, and I can think of a few conversations where, for example, they had a few different effects that would be well suited to the person. They performed them all or de-performed them all. And then the one that got the strongest reaction was the one that made it to air, I think. But I don't want to speak too much on that, because I wasn't on the locations. But I do know those conversations were sort of had. So then, yeah, you get the one that's getting, you know, you choose the reaction that worked best for the effect that worked best.
Okay.
But yeah, gotcha. Like...
If I say anything that makes no sense, I'm just going to blame the fact I'm ill, so...
Yeah, same. But yeah, what I say, when I say I set the new bar for magic TV specials, or at least performing to celebrities, I'd say. Because Blaine... Like, Blaine really was the first person to do that.
Yeah.
You know, perform celebrity. I know Dee also did it in his own way as well. But, like, Blaine really was the first person to do that. And then he was the first person that I seen to do a full special performing to celebrities, you know? Yeah. But, and that alone was groundbreaking, I think.
Mm.
And I think the reason it was so good, and it is so good to do, is because a lot of people... Do you know when you... see magic before, say you're at a party,
yeah,
and you see magic performed live, and then you see someone like I don't have a dad, and I don't know if this be the same for you, but I'm just using it as like a global example. The magician does an effect and you see your dad get blown away by it, and you know, right. And I'm not saying your dad, but you know, or your best mate, and your best mate is blown away by it, and you know that nothing impresses your mate.
Yeah,
magician just blew your mate away. And you're like, oh my God, what the fuck? Like, you react to their reaction, whether you're a magician or not, right? Because you're like, I know this guy's a skeptic and he's got his mind blown and I know he's not faking it. And I think the thing that's so clever with celebrities, by using celebrities, is that when Blaine first did magic to people on the street, you could tell they weren't faking it because people know actors.
Yeah.
But you don't know their backgrounds. So you know they're not faking it. You know they're impressed. But this could be the type of person that was impressed by anything. And he's just picked the best reactor. But there's certain celebrities out there which you know don't freak out over things. Because if they're A-listers, by pop culture alone, you know their personality type. You know, you know sort of who they are, or you know more about them than you know about the average Joe off the street. So when you see these type of celebrities getting blown away that you know normally keep their cool or are very skeptical in demeanor, then it resonates that much stronger. I think that was such a fucking intelligent, brilliant bit of thinking for Blaine to do like a special like that. But obviously, like, we evolve and everything's trying to be, you know, always trying to improve. And I think what Blaine didn't do, possibly, and I might be wrong here and I might get shouted at, is that, you know, it obviously goes with time, but not every single effect was personally catered for a story about that celebrity or something that had happened in that celebrity's life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a piece of magic which you knew they would react to, whether that was just like, you know, kind of a spiritual celebrity. Like, for example, on Ricky Gervais, he did tricks, apart from the one with a floating card up in the air for fan or whatever. He had to do tricks which he knew could not be figured out, so he did it the fucking needle through arm.
Yeah.
And that's why there's that famous clip of Ricky going, did you just fucking put it through your arm, didn't you? And it's like, when he performs on Joe Rogan, he made the perfect choice of trick, because he chose the tricks, unlike Banachek, that could not be figured out. And that, again, showed Blaine's brilliance in abundance and why he's the maestro of close-up magic. But what Blaine didn't do was personally tailor effects to personal events that had happened to those people. And I think that the next evolution is that, and that's what Dynamo did. Not only did he choose celebrities that people can relate to, and where people know that the type of celebrity, like Tyson Fury, is not going to be a very fucking easy man to impress. You know, this is the heavyweight champion of the world and been there, and people like Dave Chappelle. But not only did he do that, he sort of wove this story into the effects too. Not every single effect, don't get me wrong, but that's what he did. That was the next evolution, why he set the new standard, I think, is that, you know, the next iterations of performing magic specials will be, I think, you know, I think it was the right way. I think it's choosing people that people know, choosing a story from them, and then creating a piece of magic based off that story to connect deeper with them.
Yeah, I think you can see inklings and elements of that in some of the later David Blaine specials, but for the most part, I think it probably is 80% a really cool trick existing for the sake of being a really cool trick. I mean, there's no, I'm pretty sure Jason Sudeikis has no personal connection to a Torn and Restored card, although I think he does actually do magic. You know,
exactly. Yeah, like mostly it's like, hey, I'm David Blaine, here I am with Kanye West. But what Dynamo did in his special is he sits down with them for like 5-10 minutes, like in the show. It's like literally like each person has like a 5-minute interview.
Yeah.
Back and forward, Dynamo talking about their struggles or why, you know, what's relevant to them and Dynamo, what do they share in common, what can they bond over in a way. Yeah. And that was the unique format that he brought to magic. And I think a lot of people, or a lot of those people at the top of the bell curve, are going to completely overlook that.
Yeah.
And not realize, like, not just the magic and not just the construction of the special was good, but also he's elevated how magic specials should be approached.
Yeah, yeah. And there are moments of that in earlier things. I think, Blaine had Margot Robbie in one of his specials, which was a really personal kind of mentalism effect.
Yeah.
And there are little elements, but of course that is sandwiched between sewing his lips shut or, you know, impaling his hand in front of someone.
Yeah. Like, for example, I'm trying to think of one that's like, It wasn't necessarily like super. For example, he talks to Cara Delevingne, and they talk about her overcoming addiction, like substance abuse. And Dynamo talks about then, so Dynamo relates that to his Crohn's, right? Like, there's certain things he can't have. So then they go into this part then where a can of Coke is taken from the fridge, and he says, "Look, I bet that doesn't do anything to you, a can of Coke. There's no temptation there compared to something if it was something else. But for me, there is a temptation there because of Crohn's. I can't drink cans of Coke, but I really want one, but I know what it'll do to me." And then, so from that point, then he weaves in the effect of the Coke can opening and then being like dismissed and PK moved away from him. And it's clever how that was woven into. And like, you know, another magician, if they were intent on doing that trick, wouldn't have the preamble of discussing substance abuse and relating it to themselves in a way that you can go, "Oh yeah, for sure, I can totally see how that can fuck with you, you know, if you have Crohn's disease." And then a lot of magicians do this. I do know a lot of magicians do this as well, but it was good to see this being shown to a multi-million viewer audience in the UK.
And I
I
mean,
kind of feel like.
everything has caveats, right? That's a gorgeous presentation, but probably won't go so well for someone just doing that on the street, talking about things like that.
Exactly. Do you know, overall, I feel like it was a great way for the audience to see magic that isn't like, "Hey, look what I can do," which was very much like Dynamo style previously.
Yeah, and it's not bad. It's very flashy. It's
No.
very cool. It makes great TV, but it's just good to see this evolution, like you say, this kind of a new bar being set.
Yeah. And I think what that will allow people to do is give more gravitas to that type of magic, that situational type of magic.
Oh, baby, and that's what we're all about.
And that's what we're all about. And this is sort of like why I love the special so much, and why I think you'll love the special. And I think it's such a good thing for magic. I think this is why I say it. I think it was a much de there was so much more deeper importance to it than the top of the bell curve magicians possibly realize.
Yeah, I get you. Okay, I love this. I'm excited. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, you've got it, man. You have to watch it.
I will watch it very, very soon. I've got some things I need to sort out today, but I'll watch it today.
Yeah, you got it, man. It's so good. Well, that being said, we've been running for well over an hour. I've apologized for just chewing your ear off about this the entire time.
No, thank you for once again carrying the episode whilst I'm dying slowly.
I would love to know what our listeners think, if whoever's watched managed to watch it, because I know people in other countries haven't been able to watch it yet. But I'd love to know what you guys think. Please hit us up at theblackartco.com. And from there, you can find us on Facebook in the Facebook groups. You can message in it. Maybe we'll get a discussion thread going in there if you could, Jake, possibly,
Yeah, go on then.
to help people. And then say, like, "Oh, you know, what you guys think about the new Dynamo special," and just see what people are saying. And And then I want to know what your opinion is on it next week.
Okay, I'm excited to tell you. I'm just trying to think now, actually, in terms of schedule and what date are we on? What date will this be going out?
So, I mean, we could put it up today.
Ooh, and so we technically haven't missed 2 weeks then.
Yeah, we're only late 1 week, but then we're only late by 2 days.
Okay,
And then
so
we can record the next one as soon as you watch the Dynamo special.
okay. So if we put this out today, and then we would have one more, which is the last before Christmas, maybe have a week break or so over it. Obviously, family stuff.
Yeah. Although I did say to Kaylee yesterday that I absolutely can record over Christmas. I said, "I'm going to be recording." She's like, "Are you taking time off for the podcast?" And I said, "No." So, unless you're busy.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm technically kind of unemployed at the moment.
Well, you'll find magic. Let's just say that.
I will find a way to record whenever you want to record, buddy.
Also, if anyone's looking for an Easter egg, go to Jake's link tree via his Instagram. He may or may not have soft launched something about. I can see him squirming because he doesn't want too many people knowing about this yet. Begins with a P and ends with an Atreon. Go on and have a look. Early access, people, if you manage to find it, we'll get it before the people at a better price. So what, just saying, okay, sorry, Jake, I apologize. I know.
Yeah, thanks for that, Lloyd. Really appreciate that.
Fuck you.
Now I have to very, very quickly go and put more content on it.
So go and check it out via Jake's link tree. But yeah, sorry. There's some fucking incredible shit in there.
Thank you, dude. I really appreciate that. I will talk about it properly at a future date.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, that being said, I do need to bounce. I need to get the outro music ready to go. I'm guessing most people probably just switch off before the outro music. But in case they don't, I'm going to play it for all your ears to enjoy. Here we go.
It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. I've been Lloyd.
I've been Jake dying.
Thank you for tuning in, y'all.
Peace.
Yeah.